What is the difference between all of these fast motorcycles and your mom? Well, I'm probably never gonna get to ride any of these motorcycles. For this video, we're gonna keep it simple. I'm not going to be looking at horsepower or torque or power to weight. We're simplifying it all by just looking at the motorcycles with the fastest top speed, which when it all gets boiled down, that's really what counts, right? You know, Ducati makes the fastest motorcycles in the world today. Ducati's superbike platform is absolutely the fastest thing you can buy. And guess what? Joanne Zarco's Ducati that clocked in at a ridiculous 362 kph this past season, which by the way is the fastest a motorcycle has ever gone in MotoGP. Also, for you guys who don't do the whole KPH thing, that's 225 miles per hour. Well, yeah, there you go. Ducati. Oh, wait, is Ducati the fastest motorcycle of this decade and in the world right now? We shall see. Also, we're focusing on production motorcycles. These are bikes real people with real and often, frankly, a lot of money could actually go by and, you know, prowl the streets on. Sorry, mom, I just finished that sentence with a preposition. I apologize. Oh, one other thing that I think would be fun. I'm actually going to guess what brand has the fastest motorcycle at the beginning of each section, and we'll see if I can get any right. And you should do the same. Heck, even now, if you want, just take a piece of paper and a pen and write down what you think the fastest motorcycles or motorcycle brands are for each decade. So, without further ado, let's kick things off where it all started in 1900 to 1910. Okay, for this first decade, or at least the first decade of the 20th century, I'm gonna guess Excelsior. I don't know much about this era, but I know Excelsior was making really fast bikes around this time. Okay, I was wrong. So the clear winner from this decade goes to the Werner New Werner. Werner New Werner? I don't know. This was a bike made by Werner Motors starting all the way back in 1901. And when you look at the incredible amount of innovation during this time, it's pretty shocking for a bike from the very beginning of the decade to be holding its way all the way through. There's a few other bikes on this list that really hold their own for a long time, and this is one of those. Now, this was a bike powered by a single cylinder engine, and this was produced in 1901, and it was 217 cc's. And the real lasting legacy of this bike is the position of the engine low on the frame, right at the bottom of the diamond shape frame where the pedals normally would be on a bicycle. Remember, at this time, motorcycles were bicycles with engines basically just attached to them. But this really helped in terms of balance, and obviously top speed is important. In terms of balance and top speed, it's obviously important where you put the engine. Now, this bike could hit a whopping 30 miles per hour, which is pretty astonishing for the time, as speed limits were actually just becoming a thing in about 1901. At least, you know, the first numerical speed limit in the United States popped up in Connecticut in 1901 at 12 miles per hour for the cities. There were some funny speed limits back in the day, but they weren't like numerical really. All in all, the bike was easily the fastest thing you could buy through the first decade, and that's part of the reason it's considered one of the most influential motorcycles of all time. Now, you should note there are some motorcycles that were going faster, but again, these were race motorcycles. And in the 1900s, like early 1900s, motorcycles were going a lot faster than 30, very, very early. But again, this is the fastest production motorcycle. Okay, for 1910 to 1920, I honestly have no idea, and I'm sure this is probably wrong, but I'm gonna guess Henderson? I know Henderson made a big four-cylinder bike. Those were used by police officers, but that might actually be more like the 20s and 30s. Whatever. Okay, I was wrong again. The Werner New Werner was replaced as the fastest motorcycle that you could buy in 1911 by the FN4. But for our purposes, this is irrelevant because 1911, yeah, that means nothing. This is the whole decade, not just 1 year. And it's not about the next fastest bike. It's the fastest bike to come out in this decade. And this is the decade where things got crazy for production motorcycles, primarily in the use of multi-cylinder engines. The fastest motorcycle of this decade was the Cyclone V-Twin that came out in 1916, and this bike had a whopping top speed of 85 miles per hour. The kicker for this small American brand, however, was the price. Ultimately, the pursuit of speed and power caused it to be unable to compete with the larger brands that could just offer more affordable options. The bike cost $350 in 1916. That's the equivalent of about $10,000 today, so it doesn't seem that crazy, but that was quite a lot for a motorcycle. The bike was powered by a 996cc 45-degree V-twin, and as a racer, the bike was actually capable of over 100 miles per hour, and we talked about this a bit ago. At this time, bikes were easily hitting 100 miles per hour like board track racers and stuff. They just weren't being sold to the public with that power. Anyways, the production version of this bike was the fastest thing that you could get during this decade. All right, I'm pretty sure I actually know the answer to this one. It's got to be a Brough Superior. I know Brough was making 100 mile per hour bikes in the late 20s, so I think it's a Brough. Okay, I was right for once. Two production motorcycles from this decade were capable of 100 plus miles per hour, and they were both Brough Superiors, hence the name Brough Superior SS100. Now, Brough Superiors were production motorcycles, but really, they were kind of like tailored bikes to each customer's choosing. And in terms of what they were actually made up of, they were made up of a lot of different parts. But anyways, these were true like touring motorcycles, and all of them were guaranteed to go 100 miles per hour. They produced around 50 horsepower. At first, Brough Superiors were made to be more raw sort of racing motorcycles, but as they carried on, they became almost like the first sport tourer. You know, they were more comfortable sort of cruisers than, say, your average motorcycle, but still incredibly fast. They were the fastest bike that you could get at this time. I actually got to see one of these in person a few weeks ago back at the National Motorcycle Museum in my home state of Iowa. If you guys get the chance, you seriously should check that place out. If you're in the Midwest, it's in Anamosa, Iowa, and it's amazing. Seeing bikes like the Brough Superior was honestly insane. It's just insane that these motorcycles are almost 100 years old. And when you see them in person, they are proper machines. Like, they look like proper motorcycles. Some of the older bikes from the teens and stuff look so flimsy, but these Brough Superiors are just such legit cool machines, and it's incredible that they could go 100 miles per hour in the 1920s. Really amazing. All right, so for the 30s, I'm almost positive the American brand Crocker was making the fastest, or at least some of the fastest bikes of this time, but maybe it could be like a Norton too. I don't know. I'm gonna guess Crocker. Okay, for this, I was kind of right. No Norton for this time. I don't know why I was thinking Norton. But for the 30s, the top speed was actually the same as the 20s at 110 miles per hour. And the production motorcycles that could go this fast right out of the box were the Vincent Series A Rapide, the Crocker V-Twin, and the Brough Superior SS100. Interestingly enough, all of these bikes are V-Twins. I've made an entire video about the Crocker V-Twins that will pop up as a card right now. Basically, Crockers were incredibly powerful, fast American cruisers. Well, yeah, you could call them cruisers, but they were, in terms of style, much like Indian and Harley. But it's the Vincent Rapide platform that would carry on into the 50s and even further in terms of speed. That's really the important platform in terms of like a power plant going on for decades. You'll see why. Okay, yeah, so for this one, I accidentally looked ahead, as was obvious from what I had said. I would have guessed the Black Shadow, and I would have been kind of right, but it was actually the Vincent Black Lightning that was essentially a factory special Black Shadow. It was tricked out to go 150 miles per hour starting in the late 40s. The Black Shadow would have probably been second place, I believe, as it could hit top speeds of 125. In fact, I'm positive that would be the second fastest production motorcycle. So both Vincents. The Black Lightning was still a production motorcycle. It came from the factory. You could buy it. And holy cow, it's insane to think of a motorcycle going 150 in the late 1940s. And when you look at modern motorcycles, that's still fast for today. You know, that's super sport numbers. That's only a little slower than a Yamaha R6, for example. Now, the Black Lightning basically was a Black Shadow, but it had lighter sort of like racing parts, including alloy wheels. And, you know, a lot of this was for weight reduction. It also had high performance engine components. It had racing carbs. It was basically like a super leggera of the 40s, you know? There wasn't any carbon fiber on it, but the carbon fiber of its day, pretty much. Except it was a true production motorcycle. It wasn't limited like a super leggera, and it was produced for about 4 years. So if you're looking to get one of these puppies, you're probably going to need to spend close to $1 million, because at Mecum, these have gone for a lot. All right, now into the 50s. I'm honestly not sure there's another motorcycle hitting top speeds of higher than 150. And we know this bike was still produced in the 50s. So it's got to be this same bike. You know, when you think about the Bonneville or the TR6, those were some of the fastest bikes, and those were not hitting 150. I know that. Maybe a Norton Manx. Maybe there's something out there, but I think it's still this bike. Okay, I looked at it and I was right. There were some fast bikes in the 50s, including the BSA Gold Star that could go 110 miles per hour. The Sportster had a top speed of 122 miles per hour. The 59 Bonneville, 115. The Norton Manx, 130. So that's really fast. But again, still the top dog, the Vincent Black Lightning at a whopping 150 miles per hour. That is so crazy. Like, what a legendary motorcycle. What a legendary company. When people talk about Vincent, and also people compare Vincent to Brough, in my opinion, there's no comparison. It's not that it's the greatest motorcycle company of all time, because it didn't make motorcycles for near as long as a lot of other companies. But in terms of creating the greatest motorcycle of its generation, of its time, nothing else even compares. Like, they were doing things nobody else could even fathom. Okay, so for the 60s, there's obviously the CB750 of 1969. I would say that has to be the fastest bike. But again, I'm coming back to this, 150 miles per hour. I do not think that a 69 CB750 went that fast. I mean, I think it would be faster on a track or whatever, better brakes and stuff like that, better suspension. But in terms of top speed, I know the Triumph Bonneville of the late 60s wasn't doing 150. Oh, wait, actually, it doesn't matter though. I just realized, because Vincent stopped making the Black Lightning in the 50s. So even though our 60s bike is probably going to be slower than that bike, it's still going to take the cake. So I think it's the CB750. Okay, so it turns out 125 is the number to beat for the 60s, and there were quite a few bikes hitting it. The CB750, the Triumph Bonneville, the Triumph Trident, the BSA Rocket, which were basically the same bike. Granted, all of these bikes would smoke a Black Lightning as they produce way more power, but in terms of top speed, they still were not hitting that 150 miles per hour number. Bah, I just can't stop thinking about how crazy that is, that someone needs to make a movie about the Vincent Black Lightning in the production of it, because I'm sure it's a crazy story, but what in the world? Anyways, quite a few bikes hitting 125 for this time period. All right, I'm going to guess for the 70s, it's going to be something like the Kawasaki H2 maybe, or the Z1. Probably the Z1. I'm going to go with the Z1 because that probably at a higher top speed. I was wrong for this. The fastest bike of the 70s wasn't the Ducati 9100 SS either, though that bike could do 135 miles per hour. No, it was a different Italian machine, the Laverda Jota, whatever. Now, this bike essentially came out of a British Laverda dealer telling Laverda the bike that they needed to make, you know, and it would ultimately lead to the Jota. So the pinnacle of Laverda's motorcycle production was this bike. This bike was based on the already produced iconic Laverda 3C, the 1000cc triple capable of hitting 133 miles per hour. Basically, there was these few British blokes called the Slater brothers who were already offering the 3C in like a tricked out version. You know, they had sort of a race form. It had higher compression, race exhaust. And so they convinced Laverda to basically make the bike that they were already sort of creating. And that led to the Jota, a 90 horsepower Italian monster triple capable of 140 miles per hour, the fastest true production motorcycle of the 1970s, but still not as fast as the Black Lightning. When people talk about how legendary the company Vincent was, this is why. They held the top speed world record, I was just reading this, for a production motorcycle for like 35 years. That is until the 1980s. Okay, so I know there's a bike in the 80s that beats out the Black Lightning, but I'm not sure which one it is. Honestly, I'm not great with this time. I don't really know bikes from this time very well. I'm gonna guess it's a Suzuki though. This was kind of Suzuki's day. I don't know. Okay, so there are some fast Suzukis from the 80s, but technically speaking, the fastest production motorcycle was the Bimota YB6. Now, I feel like I should clarify, Bimota was and currently is an Italian company that basically takes on a platform. In this case, it was the Yamaha 1000cc FZR of 1989, and they make it more nutty. That's like their slogan. Well, it's not their slogan. It should be, though. Today, Bimota is primarily owned by Kawasaki, so that's why we keep seeing all these crazy H2s in Bimota's trim. And apparently, there's an upcoming adventure bike built as well on Kawasaki's 1000cc inline 4 platform. Basically, it's going to be like a 200 horsepower adventure bike. What the heck? Why? Who needs that? Anyways, the Bimota YB6 was based, like I said, on Yamaha's FCR 1000. The FCR could do a whopping 167 miles per hour, and the Bimota was capable of 170. So I'm going to give it to both of those bikes. All right, for the 1990s, it's got to go to the Hayabusa, right? That's a late 90s bike, I believe, and I'm sure it's the most powerful. And I'm guessing also has the fastest top speed. Okay, I got one right, guys. The first generation 1999 Hayabusa produced a whopping 173 horsepower and could reach a breathtaking crap yourself top speed of 194 miles per hour. So much has been said about the Hayabusa. It's obviously an iconic motorcycle. It's also an ugly motorcycle. For sure, it absolutely dominated the race for power and top speed, so much so that the Busa actually brought about the gentleman's agreement. This was essentially an agreement between the major motorcycle manufacturers to stop making motorcycles that could go faster than 186 miles per hour. There's a point where you're going so fast, you just can't really tell the difference between an extra 5 miles per hour, and all you're doing is putting yourself at more risk. Wait, that's not why they did it. It isn't because the manufacturers give a crap about people's safety. It's because the regulators were coming in and starting to threaten, like, cracking down on these companies. So all the companies kind of got together and were like, hey, let's tone it down a little bit. Well, at least the major companies. We'll see more about this in a minute. But that leads us into the 2000s. Yeah, so I can't guess for this because I accidentally read ahead while I was looking at this stuff. Yeah, I wouldn't have guessed this bike anyways. I probably would have guessed a Hayabusa. But for this, we have the MV Agusta F4-1000. And in this case, it's the R312 delineated for its top speed, capable of 312 kilometers per hour or 193 miles per hour. And that came out in 2008, and it was the fastest thing that you could buy for this decade. It's pretty funny. MV Agusta saw absolutely no reason to abide by the gentleman's agreement. They were like, we don't care. We're Italian and we want to make our bikes go vroom vroom. And they were actually advertising this bike in 2007 as significantly faster than the 186 mile per hour top speed of the previous 8 years of sport bikes from major manufacturers. And everybody got ticked about it, but they didn't care. So I guess it's another example of the major motorcycle companies forgetting about MV Agusta. MV Agusta is this little company out in Varese that somehow makes some of the sportiest motorcycles on the planet. How do they do it? No one knows. But anyways, this was a serious machine making serious power and incredible top speed. Some people debate this top speed. There's reports that it wasn't quite actually hitting those numbers. But if MV Agusta said it could go that fast, then I believe it. All right, for the 2010s, I'm guessing it's got to be the Ninja H2. That's my guess. Okay, it is definitely the H2, and I'm not going to include the H2R, as that's not a street-legal motorcycle. It can go ridiculously fast, but the Ninja H2 of 2015 has a top speed of 209 miles per hour, thanks to that juicy centrifugal supercharger, and a lot of people have taken this out. Currently, I believe that is still the record, I believe. On a stock H2, 209 miles per hour, which is really crazy. For 2020 and on, I believe the Ninja H2 is still the king. I'm going to guess it's the H2. I'm not actually positive on this one. Yeah, I think it is. I don't think anything Ducati is making goes faster than that. Okay, actually, I was wrong. I believe the fastest road legal production motorcycle is the electric bike made by Lightning, the Lightning LS218 with a top speed of 218 miles per hour. Wait a second. As I'm looking at this, this bike came out in 2014 and it's claimed that it was making these numbers all the way back in 2014. So technically, this bike actually wins the last generation as well. So these last two decades, 2020 and on, and then 2010 to 2020. Maybe this doesn't count for you guys. Maybe you want to delineate between gas-powered and battery-powered bikes. Maybe we should, because you and I both know this thing is probably only going to go for like 3 miles at that speed before the battery is completely drained. But regardless, that's a fast bike. I do believe it does hit those speeds, so it actually should have won 2010 to 2020 as well. Whew. Okay. All right, there you guys have it. The fastest production motorcycles for every decade from 1900 to today. Personally, the standout bikes for me are the insane Vincent Black Shadow, actually the Vincent Black Lightning, sorry, and the Ninja H2, of course, the Hayabusa, and then this electric bike, the Lightning LS218, which I had seen stuff about. But yeah, those are the bikes that kind of stand out. But for me personally, if I were going to own any of these, I would want that Black Lightning. That's plenty of speed. And it's just crazy to me to imagine riding on a bike that old that could go that fast. All right. Thanks for watching. Hope you guys enjoyed it. We'll see you in the next one. And make sure you ride safe.